You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500. Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our wonderful resource consultants standing by, as always, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I'm going to do what I've been doing for the last couple of days, kind of fun, taking your calls and also taking your Facebook questions. I've just been going through them sequentially as they come in. I get to them. If I don't get to your question, hopefully in the future I will. First call is from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Negusia, is that right? Negusia?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you for your ministry. I listen to you every day. I appreciate your ministry, sir.
Thank you.
I have a question that my son asked me. You know, I'm a very Christian guy, and I'm trying to raise my son as a Christian. When he go to school, somebody told him that the earth has been 6 million years, and my son asked me who created dinosaurs, so I'm a little bit confused to answer that question for him.
Yeah, I mean, in some sense, it is a very simple question to answer. In another sense, it's a very complex question to answer. The simple answer is to say God created all things. God created this universe, ex nihilo. He spoke and the universe leapt into existence, and he has created all things that inhabit this universe. Of course, in time, kinds reproduce after their own kinds. There are variations within kinds. So God created the dinosaurs. Now, if you want the progression of how and when, God has his book of nature, and you can look at the book of nature, and that book of nature will answer that question for you in a dynamic fashion. So we had to be careful not to ask the Bible to answer questions that the Bible was not designed to answer. And this is one of the questions that the Bible is not designed to answer. When you have the days of creation, they are 7 days, and the 6 days God created all things. Yom preceded by a numeral, first day, yom preceded by a numeral, second day, and so forth. So what happens is we are meant through the days of creation not to get a time frame, but remember God's creative prowess during the cycle of everyday life. I would say one other thing, and that is according to the fossil record, dinosaurs first appeared during the Triassic period about, it's an estimate, 231 million years ago. The last dinosaurs died out about 65 million years ago at the end of the Cretaceous period. This was a mass extinction, likely triggered by a comet or an asteroid impact. At least that's a speculation. So dinosaurs roamed Earth for about 166 million years. That's what we find according to the fossil record. There's no question whatsoever that we have fossils of dinosaurs. Sometimes you get the wrong head on the wrong body. There's mistakes that are made. In general, though, let me say that I've answered these and many other questions in the Creation Answer Book. It's really, really important for us as Christians, and I can't emphasize this enough. It's important for us not only to do science well, but to do Scripture well. So we have to read the imprimatur of God, the universe that he has created, well, just as we learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. Let me take a Facebook question. This is from Steve. Do unborn children carry original sin? The answer is absolutely. Yes, they do, Steve. The child is born with a broken gene. Now, there's a debate amongst Christians whether or not a child inherits Adam's guilt. But the one thing we know is all are born with a sin nature. And we all ratify, as it were, the sin of Adam. I would argue that there are texts in Scripture that poignantly communicate the fact that the son is not guilty for the father's sin, nor the father for the son's sin. Every man will stand condemned based on their own sin, and therefore we are so grateful for what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, that we're saved by God's grace through faith on account of Christ and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Of course, the early church never set faith and works in opposition to one another. It is just assumed that if you are one following Christ, you will do the works of Christ. And so when we stand before Him, we can stand before Him not clothed in our own self-righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I love what 1 Corinthians 3 teaches us in this regard. It teaches us that Christ is the foundation, but on that foundation we can build. And the day of the Lord will show what kind of materials we used as we built. So again, only one life, soon 'twill be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let me take one more Facebook question. Donato, why did God leave room for people to be in doubt over His existence and love for His created children? Well, I'll tell you what, if there is doubt, it is only because of neglect. The reality is, you can see God's love manifest in so many different ways. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and God's loving kindness is everlasting. But the God we serve is not only a God of love, He is a God of justice. And we wouldn't want it any other way. Could you imagine going to a courtroom, someone rapes your daughter, you're watching the trial unfold, and the judge says, well, boys will be boys. Or can you imagine Hitler dying in the comforting arms of his mistress with no eternal consequences? A full-orbed view of God is a recognition that God is both a God of love and a God of justice. And His love for His creation extends not only to the fact that we can see God in His created handiwork. You know, as Pascal said, God dwells in enough light, so if you want to find Him, you will, and He dwells in enough obscurity, so if you don't want to find Him, you won't. But He gives you all the light that is necessary, and then He puts a knowledge of Himself on the tablet of your consciousness. I mean, this is just incredible when you think about it. And on top of all of that, His love for the world is ultimately manifest in that the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He's the head of His body, the church. Think about Christ, the image of the invisible God, coming into time and space so that we could know Him. And not only living an absolutely perfect life, the quintessential model, the second Adam, but then suffering more than any human being, more than the cumulative sufferings of all humanity so that we could be reconciled to Him for time and for eternity. So the question, why did God leave room for people to be in any doubt? Answer, He did not. There's no doubt about His existence. You look at the stars, you know there is a star creator. And His love for His dear children manifest in the person and work of Jesus Christ. If I can add this real quickly, because we're almost up to a hard break, but Paul said, from one man God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and place that they should live, and He did that so that men might reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. Again, we're coming to the station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Visit the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, like the page if you enjoy listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Give it a review. This can be part of your contribution to expanding the outreach of the Christian Research Institute and staying shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And I am thankful for the many people that are interested in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Deeply, deeply grateful for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk directly to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Stay tuned. You don't want to touch that dial.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip www.cri.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to our callers. Next up is Al, listening in Washington, D.C. on the web. Hi, Al.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. God bless you. I've always been wondering how to make sense of the scripture when David said that, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." And because I've seen so many people that I deem to be righteous, and they struggle so much. So I just wanted to see if I could have you just help me to make sense of that scripture.
Yeah, kind of interesting. I was notating something which is ever more present in my mind. And these are the words of scripture: "He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will cry himself and not be answered." And what this verse tells us is the generosity that we ought to have towards those that are suffering. And the righteous in this sense are delineated as those who are always generous and lend freely, and therefore their posterity is blessed. But I think that there's a larger issue going on here as well. I've often quoted Charles Haddon Spurgeon on this point. He, of course, was the Prince of Preachers, and he said this. He said, "The old covenant was a covenant of prosperity." Remember, this is a theocratic kingdom that he's talking about. "The new covenant," he said, "is a covenant of adversity, whereby we are being weaned from the present world and made meet for the world to come." And I think those words have the ring of authenticity, and that's why I stuck them in my memory bank. I've often quoted this because the reality is the worst thing that we can do is become addicted to this world and the things of this world. And I'll tell you, it's very, very easy to do, particularly if you become successful in your investments, or successful in publishing, or successful in any sphere of life. It is so easy to become attached to the things of this world. And what does James say about that? I mean, he has some pretty strong words for those who get attached to this world. I'm thinking about what James says in James chapter 4. "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into this or that city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business, we'll make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow." Boy, I can really relate to that. I mean, one day I'm thinking I'm perfectly fine. I got a little cough going on. Don't know what it is. Doctor gives me cough suppressant, doesn't work. And the next day I get a diagnosis. All of a sudden I have cancer. So I love the words of James. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, "If it be the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." And then he goes on. I'm not going to quote further except to say he goes on to talk about, "You rich people, weep and wail because of your misery coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted. Moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver has corroded. Your corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You've hoarded wealth in the last day." I mean, you read this and it really, really becomes, if you order your life around the divine, it becomes extraordinarily convicting. So instead of looking to building bigger barns on this earth, accumulating more things, consider your things like manna that you can give to other people. And then you will have your priorities in order, and eternity awaits, and there is nothing like eternity. We're looking forward to it with great anticipation, whether we're young or old, rich or poor, healthy or not healthy. I mean, we're all looking forward to resurrected bodies, and that's where we need to fix our gaze.
Amen. Well, thank you very much.
You got it.
Be blessed.
Thank you, Al. Let's take one other call. CD in Abilene, Texas. Listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, CD.
How are you today?
I'm okay.
My question is, you made a statement about a worldly take on the science, talking about a meteor hitting and dinosaurs dying and whatnot. As a born-again believer, I don't deny that there ever was what we call dinosaurs. But the Bible gives us very clearly what happened with the flood. It says that God looked at all flesh, not mankind, but all flesh. And so we see the flood there that God had. And matter of fact, that's my question to you is how do you take, if I understood you correctly, how are you taking the world and putting it into the Bible instead of the truth that's already in the Bible?
Yeah.
Or did I misunderstand you?
I think you sort of got it. And I appreciate your question and the passion with which you're asking the question, because it's instructive for all of us. I mean, we should really care deeply about the Word of God and love it and learn to read it properly. My contention has always been that the biblical text is not designed to communicate whether the blood was global with respect to the earth or universal with respect to humanity. I think that debate is ultimately settled by a proper reading of the book of nature, and I mentioned that. Of course, the book of nature is not something I came up with. If you want to become real conversant with it, simply read the first four verses of Psalm 19. But the second thing I'd say in this regard is, since civilization was largely confined to the Fertile Crescent, I don't think you have to automatically presume that the floodwaters covered the whole globe. When the Bible tells us that the whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart, I think that's 1 Kings chapter 10. When you read that, I mean, only the most ardent fundamentalist interpretation supposes that to include Aborigines from Australia and indigenous people from the Americas. So here's the thing we can be certain about. The text of Scripture, both old and new, communicates the reality of a great flood in which only a few people, eight in all, were saved. The other thing I would say is there are a lot of young earth creationists, and you sound like you might fit into that particular perspective. Wonderful people that love the Lord. They don't make their position an acid test for orthodoxy. But they've questioned some of the things that they used to communicate. For example, the Paluxy Riverbed prints. They used to use that as an example of, here we have humans and dinosaurs walking the earth together. But they are commended for following facts and tracks, if you will, wherever they lead. And I love what the Institute for Creation Research did in this regard. They have a little publication. It's called Acts and Facts. I've read it for years. In fact, I've contributed to it over the years. And in that, they now say that scientists must always be willing to reevaluate prior interpretations once new data becomes available. Now, if you've been listening to this for any period of time, you'll be familiar with the fact that creationists have rightly accused evolutionists of being closed-minded on key issues. Well, if we're accusing them, we cannot afford to become like them in this respect. Jesus Christ claimed to be the truth, and since we follow him, we must be lovers of truth. Again, here's the short answer, though, to your question, capsule form. It is that you don't want to ask the Bible to answer questions that the Bible isn't designed to answer. You know, the Bible doesn't give us all the details. What it does give us is the unfolding plan of redemption, the grand meta-narrative. The first man, Adam, sinned, and as a result of that, all of creation was cast into chaos. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, he has put all things to right, and that ultimately will be revealed when he appears a second time. I'm not going to take any more questions. So many others that I'd like to get to. Hopefully we'll be able to get to them in a future edition of the Bible Instrument Broadcast. I want to end this broadcast just by one comment that I got. Touched me. So Sherry, she said, I am praying for you, and while the nation is praying, would you please consider looking into researching the Gerson miracle? I and my friends and family wish you the best. I hope, Lord willing, that you will be with us for many, many more years, my friend and radio mentor. We love you, Hank. Touched my heart. Thank you so much for Sherry's comment, but it echoes the comments of so many that it gives me strength and a blanket of peace to go on with. Look forward to seeing you next week with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.